I swear that my phone is fucking missing. The reason this topic came to mind is I joked about it with you so at the beginning of the last recording. Like, you hear it in the show, and then I was like, and I realized that, oh, I need to do one of these short notice, and then I ask Rob, I cannot put the horror thing forward. Layer 2 Pixelcast, episode 179. No, you've not gotten things mixed up in your feed. I've just decided my entire calendar is screwed up. My name is Tim Henderson. I am your host. And yes, I'm doing two episodes back to back despite the norm because I realized I couldn't record on our normal day. And this is going to traumatize me for the whole year. The one episode I was not here for, the levels are all wrong and I couldn't fix them. So yeah, there's that. Hopefully everything sounds okay. With me, I have Rob, who is currently making a pained expression on the feed.
It was of concern of, like, the pain of knowing that you couldn't fix things when it was all out of your hands, if whatever episode that was.
It was, yeah, two episodes ago. It happens. Wish it didn't. Really, really, really wish it didn't. But it happens. Anyway, this sounds fine to me so far. I presume it sounds fine to everybody else. And yeah, as it is, we're just going to go full steam ahead, and I guess steam is an appropriate term in all due sense, because this episode is all going to be all about water, like that effect that I specifically fetishized about when I was a teenager. I think water looks pretty good in most games now. You know, I'd say water, I'd say liquids in general. Whatever, we're just going to get into the pretties and maybe the way you can like mess with mechanics a little bit. But be first, you know what? First, I'm going to pause this, learn English again, and come back. No. First, we're going to talk to Rob about a game with a very strange title that, of course, nobody has heard of except for him. But it's kind of neat. Rob, you've been rallying in the Woodies.
Super Woden Rally Edge.
Woden. What the fuck Woden. Does Woden mean? Before we get
into it. Isn't like, I think it's like German for, I think it's maybe for Wednesday, which is funny because the developer of this is Spanish, I believe. So the Woden series of they're arcade-ish racing games. And this is the fourth. There was Woden GP, Super Woden GP, Super Woden GP2, and now Super Woden Rally Edge, which is a spin-off that is focused, as the name suggests, on rallying. And so you've got that sort of from the chase view of like you're a helicopter, almost like you're in a helicopter following your car, but it's very arcade action. So, you know, this is not like playing, say, another favorite of mine, Art of Rally, or this is not playing like EAWRC or the Dirt games or whatever. It's a very arcade focused thing, which means it's pretty easy to pick up and drive the cars about.
The main it looks thing at is, just from the videos, actually.
Yeah. Like you have the very simplified Sega Rally style, you know, turn indicators instead of something like more technical that you might get in EAWRC or whatever. It's just like, you know, easy, medium, tight corners rather than like much more involved gradations. So the main mode of this is like a championship where you go from like class E to class A. I'm at class C at the moment, and so each class has you do a bunch of events that are like the main events are your rallies. So like they get longer in terms of stages. You know, start at the start, try to complete a series of legs as fast as you can. As you expect for rally, you're driving these solo. It's basically time trial against the computer. There are some events that are like a rally cross where you have a split course. And so these do involve you racing another driver. And it's sort of like you do the lap, takes you over both halves. So the lap is sort of like you'll be on the left lane, the course will deviate a bit, and then you'll end up on the right lane, complete that one, and go back to the start. And it's sort of a traditional beat the other driver kind of deal. And then there are these Gymkhana events, which are basically you against the clock, and you need to go through a sort of twisty course of like cones and tight corners in a sort of a little parking lot style setup. So it gives you a bit of alternate challenge. And as you expect, winning events earns you points that unlock further events. You get money that you can upgrade your car and buy cars. And there's a pretty decent stack to go through and buy. And they're all, you know, fictionalized versions of real life cars that you'll recognize them as soon as you see them.
Dude, looking at the screenshots, that is very Sega Rally nostalgic.
Yeah, there's very much that kind of tone to it. the upbeat electronic music in the background, an overexcited announcer calling the corners out when you're getting up to them. There's a more traditional arcade against the clock mode that you can play through as well. And there's sort of like an easy, medium, hard course that you run through. And then there's also got like the weekly challenge of like three different like stages at different difficulties at different grades of car grades that you get through and see how you can rank against everyone. All the online leaderboard kind of stuff is in there. It's very easy to pick up and play and drive. So if you like that Sega Rally kind of arcade feeling, this is definitely worth playing. At the moment, it's only on PC. The other previous games have made the jump to console, so I'm hoping that this will make the jump over as well. Hopefully
sooner than later, I guess.
Just before the show, we did know this would be a pretty ideal Steam Deck / ROG Ally / Claw / whatever game.
Yes.
And I took a look at the Steam page, and the minimum specification, and this is almost funny to say out loud, is an i3.
Yeah.
With 4 GB of RAM. So I think, yeah, 4 GB of RAM is only like $500 these days, so you know you're good.
Yeah. It's very, very lightweight. It would be amazing. I think it'd be amazing to play on the go on a machine that's got the triggers, because you do need to have some idea about, like, you know, you can't just floor it. You do have to sometimes ease off and be a little careful with your braking and acceleration. The corners can get twisty and challenging sometimes.
I do want to say that isometric tends to play better with a keyboard than like proper racing.
Yeah, like you're not gonna hook up a wheel and pedals for this. You want a gamepad.
Probably a game. Like, I mean, keep in mind, like, I'm still using a 4 PC Xbox 360 controller. Like,
yeah.
An abundance of options in that regard. It's not.
Yeah. I'm playing this on my PC with an Xbox One pad, and it's great. I imagine Steam will probably pick up the, you know, PlayStation pads. But I don't think it has, like, I don't think it's got the support. I don't think it's fancy enough to have support for like the fancy PS5 stuff. Hopefully, if it does come out on PS5,
fancy PS5 stuff, I think you're more than capable. You've probably got more than enough to handle this anyway.
Yeah.
Point is, gamepads for PCs are no longer a nightmare scenario. We are way past the point where I think I gave my computer malware by like trying to get a PlayStation 3 controller working back in like 2007. And I kind of got it working. Like, it technically worked. It just wasn't good.
Yeah, no. That's why I always stuck with Xbox pads until recently.
Well, I mean, I'm still sticking with this Xbox 360 one just because it's still solidly built. I'm sure like a new pad would feel a bit nicer, but this thing is, like, again, it's still solidly built. The sticks are not drifting.
Yeah. The only thing that would stop me using a 360 pad over an Xbox One pad is the D-pad.
Although even then, this was a later issue one as well. Oh, yeah. So the D-pad's not great, but it's not the
as bad
as the launch ones was.
Yeah.
Anyway, something I did not play on a 360 pad was, and I am very late to this party, in two counts of the word, is Silent Hill 2.
Oh yes, remake.
The remake. I realize I had a weird history. I didn't even think of myself as having a history with Silent Hill 2. I remember, like, go back way back, like, floppy-haired high school, middle school, whatever. And, like, one friend, when we all had the PS1, was, like, interested in this game called Silent Hill, which kind of was this weird, offbeat niche thing. A couple of years later, PS2's out, Silent Hill 2 comes around and develops itself this reputation as kind of like the thinking man's Resident Evil, so to speak. Like, the... Which is not completely unearned, actually. Resident Evil openly drew inspiration from like cheesy zombie horror stuff, and Silent Hill is going in a more psychological direction. But I never meaningfully played Silent Hill 2. But as I was playing through the remake, I realized I did watch a trailer for it a lot, so I have all these vivid memories of a lot of the lines of dialogue. So I know that they've re-recorded it because the delivery is different, but the lines, from what I can tell, are exactly the same. And that's maybe one of the few slight misfires. This remake is mostly just, as a game, I cannot speak for it as a remake again. I've played Silent Hill 2 in the sense that I've booted it up and like I've held a controller for like 20 minutes maybe. But I have not played Silent Hill 2, but playing this on its own, this is a fucking excellent horror game. Just straight up. But yeah, I think they probably would have benefited from like rewriting some of that dialogue a little bit. Like I think the actors are probably overall doing a better job. It's hard to say exactly because there's like acting that works in the context and then like, but in trailers, like certain deliveries kind of like also like can like work in their own way. So I have this weird attachment to like specific deliveries of certain lines.
So because this isn't like, this isn't a HD version. This is basically them rebuilding it from the ground up.
Yeah.
So does that mean like the moment to moment gameplay has changed dramatically?
Or, I want to say I feel like it has. Like, from what vague memories I have of the original, it was much more fixed camera, whereas this is now kind of like behind the back, full camera control.
Right.
Terrible use of the PlayStation 5 Pro. They never really, like, fixed that up.
Yeah,
I think they took the PSSR out because it was making things look worse, at least in the performance mode, which I decided in some ways looked better than the... Sometimes, like, just being a bit sharper, like, shows a certain...
Yep.
There were some details. There were some extra effects there, but like it also fizzed a bit more in like the quality mode. So
yeah.
I dicked around for the first couple of hours and then just kind of I lost some light shafts, but that was about it. But yeah, this is way more as a person who I don't know how to say this, like I've become a fan of survival horror games, not because I like horror, but because I like the like more methodical pacing. It's like, this is what I would like action games to be like. Except I don't make action games like this. So, like, I turned to horror and, like, the quasi-Metroid, but not really, because it's more of a straight path, but you kind of, like, have to, like, go back and forth and, like, find the keys, and I like the fact that you're walking around a lot more, and that sense of, like, being more cautious and, like, poking into corners, like, all of that stuff, like, appeals to me. And sometimes, particularly number 7, Resident Evil 7 could actually be quite scary at the beginning. But then, as you gradually get more firearms, like, the fear factor goes down, it just becomes like horror is the set dressing, whereas Silent Hill 2 remake, for me at least, was like uneasy pretty much the entire way through.
Right.
And some things make more sense than others. It some stuff early on in particular seemed kind of silly. And it is silly, like, okay, we're in the thinking man's Resident Evil here. And yet, this early apartment building I've ended up in, for some reason, somebody decided I'm going to, like, set it so, like, if you set the clock, this grandfather clock, to different times, it'll unlock different doors in the building. And go, no, that is a very, very silly puzzle. You step back and think about it, like that makes more sense in Resident Evil, where it is, like, goofy and silly in the first place. It's like, no, this is a very silly thing to have to do to get, like... So, like, you can see at this point, at least, they were kind of copying some of the, like, the... designs for like progress and like just like basic mechanics. The thing is though, so you're playing some guy called James who in my head, particularly in this like remake with a more detailed character model, I kind of call him like just a mopey George Stobart, which means something to me as a fan of Broken Sword, but probably more people. He looks a lot like a mopey George Stobart. Like if you look at screenshots from this, that's really the vibe I get from him. Entering this kind of mist blanketed town, which was a genius horror decision, like back at the end of the 90s when you had all these hardware restrictions and it was like, oh, this thematically works and it's probably saving us a whole bunch.
Oh yeah.
Of hardware, like resources and things. Where like, you know, his wife passed away from some disease, apparently, I think according to the opening narrative about 3 years earlier. She'd always made him promise that was their special place, but his like special place is somewhere in Silent Hill. I can't remember exactly where, and apparently he's received a letter from her saying she's waiting for him there. So now he's gone back, and like something is very wrong with this town, and it makes sense that Konami is now. I hope this does not become annual. That's going to become overkill. But Silent Hill F came out last year, and apparently also very good. And they just announced the new one again in the State of Play not that long ago. Coming out probably the end of this year. Neither of those last two places are... Actually, wait, maybe they'll... No, I don't think either one is set technically in the place called Silent Hill. But it kind of makes sense that Silent Hill is like a mental space more than a...
Yeah.
The name of a physical town. Like, you don't have to tie yourself to that. And you definitely don't because a thing that like makes some of the silly stuff in this game work is like James is very clearly suffering from extreme levels of guilt and kind of losing his mind over the course of this game, and they are using like transformations in the environment to like really convey that quite a lot. Not the most technically that's pretty well technically visually done, but I want to give it like big props just because this is an Unreal Engine 5 game that at a glance you would not immediately pick as Unreal Engine 5, and that is still kind of pretty special at the moment. Like it looks like my memories of these Silent Hill trailers, like it just like lines up with them like very, very well.
Right.
And yeah, the story is definitely much more like a kind of slow descent into madness. Like, there are a few characters you meet around. And if you think of it literally, none of it makes sense. Like, why are, like, these five other people in this otherwise abandoned town filled with these, like, creepy monsters that look like people in, like, inside-out straight jackets made out of people's skin or something? Like, the enemies, like, in this game are really, really super gross and mostly not cheap. I want to say for the most part, the combat is excellent for like what it sets out to achieve. Some of the time is a little bit off. Some of them like slide around and jump at you. And what I noticed is you start off with just a huge plank of wood and it eventually gets replaced with a metal pipe. But that's like a melee weapon. It's just like wild swings. It doesn't matter if you time that really well so that you would hit them when they jump out at you. Like it's a predetermined attack. And like I had to like stop doing that because I just realized that, oh no, they get me every time. It doesn't matter if, as you watch the animation, I clearly cracked that thing clear across my head and should have sent it flying into the wall over there.
Yep.
That's one small thing. And again, like, it's a horror game, so, like, the best combat is not what it's going for. But what it really does do, one, the firearms, and you do come across more than one, they work completely well. The sound design in the game is excellent, actually. We'll get back to that in a second. But what I really like is when you're swinging those melee weapons, like the sheer sense of like insanity and desperation, like each swing, like the kind of grunts that they got out of the voice actor. It's like, this guy is just like, fucking die, you crazy thing. Like every time, like these guttural screams, it's like, it really is like, and it lets you do it. And as it damn well should, like you'll have killed something and you can just keep on just like slamming your pipe or wooden plank, like back down into it. Like, and you'll like make these desperate shrieks and like stomp on it. And the thing is, okay, on one hand, you could just say it's like just purely gross or whatever. But also, it makes complete sense that this would be happening. Like,
yeah.
It's like in this irrational world, that is a rational thing to be doing. It's like making extra 120% sure that this thing is fucking dead.
Yep.
But yeah, there are some other strange behaviors there. Like, you stick your arm into like a weird number of disgusting holes.
Ew.
And, you know, there'll always be, like, a useful item or a key or something in there, but, like, the only reason to stick your hand in that hole is because the game tells you to, like, very lucky, James, that every time, and it makes you press the button multiple times, like, it'll start, and then he'll make a grimacing face, and you'll have to press it again, and you'll, like, go in a little bit further. Yeah, but, yeah, a few quirks, but overall, like, this was, you know, a lot of people were worried early on when it was, like, announced that Bloober Team would be in charge of this, and, you know, they were very much of a horror pedigree, but also not the strongest track record of, like, excellent games. And Silent Hill 2 is kind of considered a jewel in that early PS2 era. Right. Like, it was kind of like the almost, you know, the original, not schlocky survival horror game.
Yeah.
They definitely absolutely pulled this off, like, it's a very easy recommendation to anybody unless you are, like, you get too frightened to go forward, because they do, again, sound design excellent a lot of the time. Like, when anything that might attack you is nearby, like, this kind of radio staticky kind of noise, like, goes up and down, it's kind of a bit squealy. Really good usage of the speaker in the PlayStation controller. Like, it's the sort of thing that actually crackled, like, it's exactly the sort of thing that speaker is good at. but they also, like, just mix it with things, like, sometimes, like, the gravel underfoot will sound a little bit like that radio crackle.
Ah, yes.
And so you're not really sure, as like, am I safe here, am I not? surround sound implementation is excellent. Again, like, just the sounds you make when you're attacking, like, really captures this, like, kind of, like, oh, everything is just really, really fucked up. Yeah, it's a great descent into madness. I'd say apparently twice as long as a PS2 original.
Oh, wow.
Which, yeah, which I would believe. I Googled before I started and it was like, the average playthrough is like 16 to 18 hours. And I looked at it and I was like, well, it's going to take me 20 then because I know how I play.
Yep.
My save file at the end is somewhere between 22 and 23 to like, perspective. So you can definitely take a while playing it. Although it's also within 23 hours is not that long in the modern game, modern day games. And yet, like, it felt like a really substantial journey. Like, I was like, oh, I have seen some shit. I've been some places. Like, I definitely feel like there's some meaningful ground has been made over the course of this. And also multiple endings, which I think I'd read about once, and I don't know how they calculated. I looked at something on Reddit that may or may not be true, and it's like very abstract. But I got one that I'd say is not happy, but felt probably quite appropriate to the way it was handling things. I don't know if that was more difficult or more or not. I did go and look them all up afterwards. I do appreciate that it's not a very easily gameable thing. Like, I think you really have to be conscious about what you're doing.
Yep, that's always, yeah, because I know there are some games where it's like you can easily
three get buttons back at the end, like the first good Deus Ex sequel was excellent until you got to the end and there were literally like three buttons to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, Mass Effect 3 is the trope namer for that in my eye. As much as I enjoyed that series.
Yeah, three buttons. I don't think you're alone there. Some of the endings, there's a new game plus, and like, I think I'm done. Like, this game is excellent. I don't understand anybody who would play this and go, yeah, I want to do that immediately again.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where it's like, I think I can probably wait for like, the next Resident Evil, which is coming out very soon. I'm like, you know, maybe I'll wait until October. Like, I think I'm good. I'm good for like dank horror-y things for a while now. Like, unless there's a mode where you play entirely as like Leon Kennedy in God mode and just kick all the zombies in the head. But no, over time, I just found myself like really impressed. It's got like under my skin. It's like, wow, like this, I don't know if I'm sad or happy that I never played it on PS2. Like, on one hand, like I missed what was established as like a classic of that platform.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, this was like a wholly fresh experience. But then I also miss like having something I love like being remade really well. So it's like up and down.
Yep.
One last comment of like praise for this though, because I am still super impressed that Lublin pulled all this off, is there's difficulty for combat and for puzzles. And it's, I said both to medium, but like the puzzle one is intriguing. Like, I don't like how they would go about it, but that seems like a real like extra bit of design work endeavor. Like, because combat, you can be like, okay, whatever, this gun's a bit more powerful, this enemy goes down in one few hits or whatever. But if you're doing it for puzzles, then you may have to like some of the stuff like retweak or like add in or like take out certain things. So that's kind of a neat.
Yeah. Props for that. I wish more games did that.
Yeah, I was like, that's impressive. Like, that's a neat thing to include in there. But also, yeah, the game is like quite gross in places. Impressive. Again, it's just a very, very good horror game. Other people have said it before me. I'm putting it out there now. It's current. The way I played it was on the catalog. If you're at mid tier or above a PlayStation Plus. Only downside there, again, if you have a PS5 Pro, do not expect it to be doing anything special with that shit. But you probably don't, so it's fine. And yeah, with that blood covered, wet, disgusting image, we'll take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about other things that are wet, but hopefully not in such a disgusting way. Thank you. And we're back. And I'm just going to like go early and put it out there now and say that we all know it will not be the greatest explosion of all time. It will not be literal earth-shattering visual effects. We will know that video game graphics have hit their pinnacle. Their absolute pinnacle. When you can take your character over to like a fridge or a sink and have them pour a glass of water and then drink it and have it look completely natural. Because it is a small, mundane shit that is really, really hard to get right. And I'm yet to see a character drink anything that looks remotely normal in an actual engine in real time. Too dangerous.
I'm sure some 4A studio is doing something behind, you know, that hasn't been announced yet. And they're working on it. Investing huge swaths of money in the process.
It's. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to see that. But it is probably such a poor usage of natural resources.
Oh, yeah. But
it's one of those weird things because, this whole episode is about water or, like, you know, fluids. Fluids is a disgusting word. And we could also have vest diarrhea based on that.
Ew. Ew. I need to sign up for that.
Just go there. You think, like, the original Quake. And like that, kind of like that swirly, the software rendered one in particular, like it just looked like this sewage sludge.
Yeah. Because that game was brown, the game. Like just that pellet was so.
But the way it animated as well, it just looked thick.
Yeah. I mean, I remember playing GL Quake for the first time and where it went transparent. And so it sort of lost something, but gained something else. Which is really weird, I think. The distortion. And I think the distortion was kind of different there compared to Software Quake or even some of the other hardware rendered versions.
Well, it's probably part of something I think has affected a lot of this over the years. I'll just go straight there. I would like, especially when I started getting impressive in 3D graphics as a teenager, I would always be drawn to like really pretty water effects. The catch is, and particularly with Quake, is like the original art direction probably had the software rendering in mind for the cohesiveness of the look. And especially if you go back and look at, like, the turning point. We're jumping forward here because, like, we could, I don't know, there's less talk about in the classic 2D stuff. It was kind of neat that the Mega Drive and the SNES could change the colors when you went down. But it's also hard to go back and look at because so much of the water top effects relied on how CRT TVs work. And, like, if you're watching that on YouTube on a modern display, it just doesn't work.
Nope.
At all, but it was around the PS2 where this, like, it really started, like, it was this turning point.
Yeah.
But, like, they figured out ways to do this water, but, like, if you go look back at it now, like, it kind of clashes with the art direction a lot of the time.
The PS2 standout for me is always going to be the tanker chapter in Metal Gear Solid 2.
Oh, yeah. We're going straight from Bodies of Water to Rain, all right.
Yeah, like just the way that interacted on the surface of the ship. And in those sequences, and then, like, at the spoilers for a, 25-year-old game, at the end of the act where Snake is drowning, like.
Some of that stuff just looks so good, and probably some of it, I think, is a bit superfluous. It is also responsible for, like, the camera getting wet, which is a weird thing that games did for, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, because when you start the main mission and, you know, you're not Solid Snake anymore, and they're like kind of blindsiding you a little bit, and you kind of, you approach underwater and then you come up and like all these trails of water like run down the screen. Yeah. You know, and the fact that it looked cool, but it seems kind of silly in hindsight.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, when you've got like limited tech and you're pushing it as hard as Konami and Kojima's teams were doing, you sometimes have to push that little further to sort of to do it.
A lot of games ended up doing that. But no, the Rain still stands. I think I mentioned this recently as well. And the Rain still stands out even today. And a lot of it, like the way they cheated, and who cares because it looks fucking awesome. So I think a lot of the way it looks so lashing was because the splashes were just pre-rendered. Like, they were happening independently. Like, the tanker just had these splashes, like, erupting around it. But, like, it looked like a fucking storm. And, like, how many games to date communicate a proper fuck? And, like, lashing is the word that comes to mind when I think of that Rain. Like, it really feels like water is just whipping against that fucking boat.
Yeah. And that's ultimately, you know, special effects. It's like conveying something that, you know,
it's conveying the violence of the storm. Like, it feels less like they've just activated an effect and more like they're really communicating something, which, again, rain is a weird one because, like, very few games do it really well, even to date. And I don't know how much it's going to improve going forward because I think, like, this is something that, for the most part, I actually don't really have an issue with DLSS. It's one of the few uses of AI that I think generally makes sense. But upscaling and things like raindrops probably don't go together. Like, it's going to have to get really advanced for that shit to really work.
Yep.
Yeah, appropriately, we're going to jump way forward. The best rain I've seen since then is going to go to Death Stranding 2. Shock. Horror is a Kojima joint again.
Connective threads.
It's still a bit recent enough that I don't want to like go into the details of why it looks so awesome, because especially like late game Death Stranding 2 does some really cool shit with rain that like just looks fucking rad. I thought about rain for a bit, and it's like that and like Batman. I want to say Arkham Knight, like that city looked pretty wet. Like there was a sense of the dreary storm. Like it wasn't quite Metal Gear Solid 2 levels of violent, but like it felt like it was raining and not just particles were falling from the sky, which so many games to date still.
Yeah, like you've got to have the physicality of the rain because there is a physicality you have to really respect to, at least give the appearance of the physicality, even if you don't do it.
I think, Metal Gear Solid 2 had figured something out, which is like, you can fake it, like, to a degree, like, just communicate what you're getting across. It doesn't matter, it doesn't actually matter that much if every raindrop is in an individually
modeled or simulated or
whatever little particle effect. What, matters is, like, do you feel like, oh shit, these guys are saturated right now?
Yeah.
Which, in Metal Gear Solid 2, that opening, they definitely did.
Oh, yeah.
But this was a generation, I think, where they started to, like bodies of water started to get, like, way more impressive. Like, this kind of sucked for me as, like, a hardcore Dreamcast fan. There were not that many games in that. It really was, like, when the Dreamcast was keeling over and, like, the PS2 and GameCube were starting their ascent.
Yeah.
That, like, a lot of these effects started to, like, come about.
I mean, I haven't personally played them, so I can't judge them for myself. But, like, the Wave Race games, like, the ones that always seem to get a lot of talk about how they simulated, like, the buoyancy.
Yeah, I mean, that's wild to think about Wave Race 64 on that hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding, like, it, again, cheated, doesn't fucking matter. Like, cheated is the wrong word. Like, I just found Clip Creative Solutions, which is a lot of that just happened around the player.
Yeah.
And especially since it's an SDTV. Analog, and two, like, everything on the 64 was blurry as crap, so you couldn't really see far enough into the distance to tell that wasn't happening anyway.
Yeah, smart use of the resources to hand.
Yeah, but, like, multiple different ways to, like, go about this, and it's weird, like, this communication. So one of the few ones that stands out for me in the Dreamcast, and this is a very me answer, was Shenmue, specifically Shenmue 1 more than Shenmue 2. Shenmue 2 was being a bit more fancy with some, like, shimmering textures over the top. But Shenmue 1 at the harbour, like, specifically at the harbour, not so much the pond in your backyard, front yard. Just the timing or something, just the physicality of, like, the waves against the harbour docks, like, really communicated, like, really well. Like, it felt like an ocean. Like, there was not much in the way of glint or glimmer or, like reflective sparkling things, but that also kind of worked with the visual design of that game, where it was, like, more about getting a very lived-in looking world as opposed to making things look shiny.
Yep.
And that's something that still to this day we don't always actually get. What we have gotten very good is the shiny.
Yeah. A lot of that reflections and the,
like, the very rapidly moving, like, textures. Like, there's a distinct look to PS2 era water that eventually kind of, like, moved in.
Yep.
One of the easier examples would actually be Pikmin. On the GameCube, and at the time that was like, holy shit, look at this. And then by the time Pikmin 2 came out, it was like, this is just what water looks like on this console.
Yeah.
on this generation now. But for me, it started with Ico, which had a pretty ordinary looking ocean, but, and this scene is famous, I don't think it's just me, there's a scene with a windmill and like this gigantic pond, almost like a glorified puddle that just when you like fell off into it, like that water would like super buoyant and like again very like shiny, like ripply textures. I jumped into that so many times, like splash, splash. I did the same in Metroid Prime. I want to say most of the water in that game had still an older school, like just texture floating on top of it. But there's one area somewhere in Phandara in the ice stage, whereas like there's a mostly empty room, so they clearly had more rendering or processing power to spare. And like you shoot in the water, and you get these mad ripples, like kind of coming out with a.
Ooh, it's been so long since I played through that. That yeah. Ooh.
But we got to the point where we got some pretty good ripples, I think, by the end. Although even to date, I feel like it's come and go. The main thing I notice is when you get the ripples, especially in this generation, the water seems sticky.
Mm.
Like it looked cool. Like it had these weird trails like coming behind the character if they're like running through it. But it always seems just a little bit sludgy and like, because water is actually very, very, ripples come and go very quickly unless it's a gigantic ass.
Yeah.
Things so was like hyper real. And it looked cool. Again, like emphasis, it looked cool. And I'm guessing they probably left it there because it looked cool and it was just like a cool showboaty thing to do at the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't know if it's aged that well. But I think getting the effect in is one thing. Getting the timing right is probably just crazy levels of fine-tuning that would have to, like, go into that. And then, okay, like, what is a pebble versus, like, the lead character versus dropping a piece of armor versus...
Yep. Yeah, you'd have to... So many little edge cases.
To the point where I still don't think it's been solved.
No. I mean, more like, yeah, soft body. You'd have to get more adoption of soft body physics.
Yeah.
And that's pretty computationally intensive, so probably not.
Probably not, but I mean, things kind of came and sort of like, did you play the original Uncharted, Rob? Were you like...
No.
Because that was just a big... Sorry. Yeah, it was just a big thing just because, like, Drake's clothes would get wet in, like, different heights. Which, in hindsight, is probably more of just a production time scale thing than a technical achievement.
Yeah. I could easily see them having just, like, different UVs to blend between his regular costume and a drenched version of that.
Because I don't think it was until Uncharted 4 that you really got underwater, and I feel like, yeah, we're still to this day, like, I feel like even, like, just an indie toying around in Unreal Engine could probably make a really cool looking ocean with an island in it. Like, I feel like that's like a solved problem. Going underneath still seems like where a lot of the trivia is. And I hate to point it out, but Crysis is still like going back and looking at some footage, like specifically like going underwater in Crysis, like going, they did not need to do this. Holy shit. Like the light going through the water in that game looks sensational.
That wouldn't surprise me that they'd be pushing things so hard.
I mean, it is the game for, like, pushing out the graphics hard.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
You know which one I think has not aged that well, though? And this is a very me answer that's also going to get me in a lot of trouble. From the same era would be Bioshock.
Ooh. No. Oh. Like, yeah, I feel... Nah. No, I think that, yeah, Bioshock's definitely felt like it didn't really, yeah, when you're walking through sections where the piping was clear and you could see into the wider undersea, yeah, it never really felt like you were under the sea. It never gave you that kind of feeling. Like it was blue and it was sort of a deep blue, it never had the distortion.
No, which is weird, because this, well, it probably had some, but I guess it wasn't effective enough for, like, the light refractions, perhaps.
Yeah. Nah, you're definitely right on that. I was thinking about that, but, again, I hadn't had a chance to review footage. It's been so long since I sat down with it that's like, yeah.
I mean, I guess that's definitely... played the remastered one. Maybe they've done something there to, like, enhance it a bit, but I would probably guess not.
Yeah, I'd be on the fence on what they were doing with that.
I think the more interesting one, Washuki 1, gets almost back to rain again. well, not rain specifically, but like the nature of rain, which is like the moments in that game where like maybe the glass would crack and water would spray through. That is something that is still really seems like, I'm not a game developer, but still seems really difficult to do.
Yeah.
It's you still when you see stuff like that, it's the same with fire a lot of the time. You can kind of see these textures kind of like blur, like kind of like appearing over each other.
Yeah. You sort of got to really just approach the simulation of destructibility there.
Which doesn't make me wonder if we're ever going to get some sort of like effect solution, so to speak. We're going to get like the ray tracing of like that type of particle spray.
Mm.
Because particle effects have been going around for a long time now. Like,
yeah, I think it just feels like that the simulations are just going to use more particles in them. I really haven't seen much sort of evolution beyond that of just like doing more, like, because it still seems to be billboarded sprites rather than like other things. Like there was a period where we had point sprites, but they never really seemed to get picked up for them, regretfully.
Yeah, so it's one of those weird like weak points. I guess it's not a solution that many games need, or at least not enough. Although one of these days we're going to have a perfect waterfall.
Yeah.
Like if you can get like a perfect waterfall up close, that's probably not as impressive as a glass of water. Like I cannot stress enough how weird drinks look in video games.
Yep.
At least
once I went 3D.
Yeah, that's true. And you're probably some really nice hand drawn or like 2D. That's a lot easier. Actually, the more I think about it, that is way, way, way easier.
But it's not as impressive.
Yeah, it's not. You get weird complications with like collision detection, and then like again, like the levels of buoyancy, and like especially if it has to go into a character's mouth, that's where it gets like super weird.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's
another one that might be kind of cool was Half-Life 2. Like the sequence is fairly early on where you're on the sort of skimmer bit on the sewers.
I don't remember being impressed. It's been a long time since I played it though.
But yeah, again, I think it's the same for me. I never got a chance to sit down for the anniversary updates to really replay that. But that always sort of stuck out a bit for me back then. Of just like, again, you sort of got these kind of channels and that sort of the buoyancy and the kind of thing. Like you weren't going, you know, you weren't, unless you messed up, you weren't going underwater or falling in, but you were just sort of like skimming over how it felt.
I guess it's one of those things where like you need different solutions for like different ways it affects. Like in some cases, the buoyancy is like the most important thing, whereas other times it may just be because I want to start thinking like if we finally get to the point where there's enough power to like ray trace things properly. Because one thing I don't know what causes this, so maybe you can explain it to me. It's the example that is coming to mind is Fear 2, which is a very very specific game to be pulling out. But just imagine any first person shooter, I guess, really. Like a kind of corridor-based one, and then you'd get into a room and there'd be like a bath or a swimming pool or something there. And, you know, it'd like have like the cool ripples and like just the effect of that like late aughts era water effect. But if you like, you know, if you had your gun hovering over it, the ripples would also pick up the color from your gun.
Yeah.
That drives me fucking nuts. I don't, like, there's got to be some specific way of like that visual trick where it just doesn't work if something in front of the camera gets in front of it, because like it doesn't. Like if you move the desk in front, then the desk would start. Like it's just like the world's worst reflection or something.
Yeah, you have to really. I think a lot of the times, a lot of games will treat like your weapon not necessarily like attached to your model in actual 3D space, but sort of being rendered on top of the scene rather than being in the scene with it, and that might interfere with camera, you know, rendering layers or whatever. But I haven't worked enough at that kind of fidelity to know, exactly. This is what's happening. What would cause such a thing?
Yeah, that's still like a pretty. I mean, it's definitely something I've seen like in more than one instance. Like it's a known. I don't want to say glitch. It's not a glitch, but it's a known wrinkle.
Yeah,
that I've come across in numerous games. What has occurred to me since, you know, all of this morning, so it's like, you know, this is what I'm going to talk about. One of the shortness is like, I don't know if Death Stranding 2 notwithstanding, if there are that many more modern games where I've like really gone, oh damn. It looks pretty nice. Like the buoyancy in Astrobot's like really nice. Is really nice. But like even Alan Wake 2, like there's nothing there that stands out to me too much about the.
Yeah, I'm definitely not thinking of. I'm definitely sort of like hitting my thing of when I think of all the modern stuff I've been playing. I can't think of much that really pushes through, that really defines things the way some of these other games we've been talking about have.
Yeah, I do have to wonder if we just go through phases, I think, to a certain degree. Like, this is the era where, like, this gets figured out and then everybody goes freaking nuts with it.
Yep.
Like, early PS4, Xbox One was, like, why I was, like, talking about particle effects earlier, because remember, like, that, like, particles were fucking everywhere!
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought, like, maybe that would, like, result in, like, better fire and water effects, and I don't know if that ever really...
I think, yeah, it sort of lasted and fizzled out.
Came to that kind of, yeah, fruition. So what I would like to see, though, is, like, a return of, like, the jet ski, or, like, the water sports...
Yep.
Thing which there've got to be so many, like, okay, we mentioned Wave Race and then Blue Storm and the GameCube, especially around that era. There were so many, like, Hydro Thunder, but Hydro Thunder is the one I can remember. Like, there were so many, like, probably insert random celebrity jet skier era. Games of that ilk, once that became a solved problem for a while, it was just, check out all our water games.
Yeah, the extreme games fad of the early 2000s.
Yeah. Well, probably mid to late 90s, and then they became the water ones when we got to the early 2000s, and like that stuff was actually like somewhat
surfing.
There was definitely surfing games. Like that is wild for me to think about. That there were definitely just straight surfing games.
Definitely Kevin remember. Slater?
I feel like I can't even remember a name.
Yeah, that sounds about. That would be the right kind of name recognition for something like that.
You know, I think what we're missing here, like, was maybe, like, the best-case example of some of these effects, and it's a shame that I don't think either of us are very serious racing game players, because I feel like maybe that is where...
Well, in terms of the simulation fidelity, there's been a lot with iRacing, which is way above my league of racing game enjoyer. But they've been doing a lot of work with their wet weather model over the last few years, and I've watched some streamers and other people playing it. And they're doing stuff where it's like, it's actually doing the proper grooves being cut into the track where things start drying out.
Talking.
Yeah. And it's really cool. Like modeling that you have to be like, okay, the track's drying out there. I've got to keep on this other area that's not optimal to keep the tires cool. So that stuff's been there. Like I said, my level of sim racing enjoyment is not enough to be anywhere near what, to be able to appreciate iRacing properly, and it's an expensive mofo too.
It is. But
what I've been seeing from that has been very impressive. Has really impressed me on that, especially like when you're factoring weather in like a long term endurance race.
Yeah, but also like things like windscreens, like it's like it's something I'm like going, yeah, this is like a really good, like this is where you can show this shit off, and it like makes complete sense. Like really good windscreen wipers would be, Yeah, like I remember Drive Club impressed me in that regard, but I think that may have been the sound design.
Oh, yeah, been a while. Rest in peace, Drive Club.
That game got good. It was like one of the original, like, got good when it's too late and nobody's writing reviews about it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it deserved better.
Yeah, that studio deserved
better, frankly. Yeah, absolutely.
Although I guess, I mean, we were complaining about, like, technology. Well, not complaining, but, like, maybe, like, a need to stop trying to force innovation in certain technologies and, like, have reached certain plateaus. And to a certain degree, I guess a lot of the water effects, like, are as good as they need to be for, like, most use cases.
Yeah.
Is one thing about, because I still remember, like, being excited about, like, shiny puddles in games, like.
Yeah. And there was, like, 360 PS3 era. It was, I think it was a LucasArts game where it was, like, Hydrophobia?
Oh, crap. I think I know what you're talking about. It's like an underwater horror game.
Yeah.
That's going to bug you for the rest of the night, isn't it?
maybe.
Yeah, I guess we'd just jump back to how we got to some of this stuff, like, really quickly. Specifically, like, stuff that can impress you. Like a perfectly flat surface now, you could probably do an absolutely beautiful, beautiful effect. And you can even see examples of that in like, the friggin' Sega Saturn.
Mm.
Sonic R, the water looked very calm, but Sonic R is a weird game where it's like this amazing, like this fucking wild, they pulled it off in the Saturn, but it's also probably not really very good. And a lot of it is just like, oh, just reflections. Like if you're not jumping in that water, then all you have to do is reflections.
Yeah. I mean, and I remember there was stuff with some games where they had like they just duplicated the geometry underneath and inverted it.
I'm sure that happened a lot in 2D stuff. Like why wouldn't
you? Yeah. Yeah. Cause you would just, cause then you didn't have to worry about making a reflection. You just rendered it.
I want to say for sure that some SNES games are doing that.
I wouldn't be surprised cause you'd be able to flip the tile map. Really, the SNES would be the only one where that would be feasible, because otherwise you'd probably want to save your tile map space for like distinct visuals rather than just reflecting what's already there. But,
yeah, although, so now I am like, maybe it is more interesting to like think back to like clever ways they solved it. Because my main issue with modern games is like, again, like sometimes like the water's like this realistic and impressive thing that doesn't stick with the rest of the world, and the challenge in some cases is like getting it to be a coherent part of everything else. I think I want to say Streets of Rage now. Well, it wasn't even like just in the background, but like I think they just had like these wobbling lights. And it was just like this really cool trick that kind of like gave this sense of like, okay, we're over this bridge or something at the moment. And again, this is hard to really convey to people who are like a generation or two younger than us, because like this stuff, like things looked different on CRT TVs, and the art would have been designed with the output in mind.
Yeah. The famous example, of course, being like the waterfalls in Sonic.
Yeah, a lot of it looks like really flickery now.
Yeah. I mean, of course, like upscaler tech has definitely, if you go high end with like the high end upscalers, like a RetroTINK 4K, there's a bunch of blending and stuff in there that can improve it, but it's still not going to be as good as it is on a good CRT.
And of course, some of those niche item in the first place as well. So.
Yeah, and of course, it's worth noting that some of these effects really work best when using the less than optimal cable hookups, not high-end RGB stuff. So you've got to trade off. Do you want that effect to look good and using your terrible composite connection, or do you risk losing it for higher quality rest of visuals for the rest of the time?
We're changing subject a little bit here as well, but I think there was even, what was the Monster Hunter game where the snow effect was ruined?
Oh, wow.
When Sony, like, changed the display and one of the newer models, like, it didn't work as well.
Like PSP, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, interesting.
Like, yeah, it's such a weird thing to think about now, because, I mean, I feel like the tech is kind of locked in enough, I mean, between LED, OLED, or RGB mini-LED, but, I don't think it's something that artists have to, like, battle with quite as much anymore.
No, not really.
Yeah, what I'm disappointed, though, is, like, I really am struggling to think about, and this is my fault, because I was thinking about, like, earlier examples. I was lost in PS2 era. It's still super annoyed that Wind Waker, the ocean in that clips through the bottom of your boat all the time. That broke the fucking game for me.
Oh.
Didn't break
that's
the game
thing.
But, like, I couldn't unsee it once I saw it.
Yeah, that's the thing, like that, with the amount of water travel, it's like that, it sort of feels like the, because that water was solid, that light blue, it never really
gave. Yeah, the solid blue with like occasionally a wavy texture. Like,
yeah, it never really gave you the feeling that you could have that some of these other games we've talked about gives you.
Although credit where it's due, like it was water that visually cohered with the rest of the world, which is not, as I've been saying, not the case.
Not that easy. Yeah,
it's definitely not the case that generation where a lot of the time they figured out how to do it nicely, but it didn't always look in again.
No.
Like, thick, sticky water as well. Like, I think even today, there's still, like, a little bit of a problem.
Yep.
I don't have a problem, like, but definitely, like, hyper-real. It's, like, the same way, like, movies are lit in ways that things are not realistic, but it looks cooler.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think that ties in with that thematic thing of the fakery to make it look more impressive.
Yeah,
and so that's always, I think, that's always the struggle you get a fight with.
Yeah, I think my thing for the rest of this generation now is going to be like, when is the next game with a really impressive storm going to like come across that is not a Kojima game? I guess, will Konami do it? Like, will they make a new Metal Gear Solid? I think there's a pretty good chance now. Konami seems to be back.
Yeah. Whatever black trickery they did to get MGS4 running on everything. Did I just license some emulator or whatever?
I mean, was it that much trickery? Like, I know that like that game was hyper-specifically designed around some really complicated hardware, but surely there's enough processing power now so you can just brute force your way through a lot of it.
I mean, yeah, and PS3 emulation has improved quite heavily in the last year. So maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's just brute force from that. Anyway, we are changing subject again. This is something that I don't know, maybe we may return to in small doses in the future. At least it's something I'm going to be paying like a lot of attention to. Especially like the lighting and the underwater stuff, I think, in particular. And wait a second, I almost forgot. Didn't they confirm there's a new Echo the Dolphin, or like multiple new Echo the Dolphins happening?
Yes. Yes.
Because that was simultaneously like the best looking and like sometimes the most disappointing looking Dreamcast game ever, like, at the same time. Like, because the top water texture was just a flat one, and it was like pretty decent, but you expected more from what that game was, but like some of the underwater caustics are amazing, and they got away with using fog because that was a realistic front ocean.
Yep. Be interesting to see where that goes, that new one, those new ones.
Yeah, my fear there is that it's going to be like, well, water is a sole solution if you just want some basic ass nice looking water.
Yep.
I'm hoping it doesn't come out and it's like, well, that is an Unreal Engine 5 ass looking game. Like, or at the very least that it does a hanging water stage. Holy crap. Hanging water at that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about anymore? Hanging Waters, I think it was in the original Dreamcast, not in the original Echo on Mega Drive. And then they somehow pulled it off in Dreamcasts. Although, I should point out, like, this is infamously maybe the most difficult game on the Dreamcast. And what I'm about to describe may be part of why. This is like a whole stage where, like, tubes of water are just suspended in the air and it becomes like this ascent of platforming. Swimming through them, and it looks fucking rad, but I'm pretty sure I must have fallen to my death like 200 times.
Oh, God.
But it looked really, really cool. But with that, this is something I think I'm just going to like keep more of an eye out for, and I'm probably going to disproportionately mention it in reviews going forward if, like, either I see that... Because I saw it earlier today is why like I remembered Fear 3, is I'm playing... Just started playing Nobody Wants to Die, which is a very good-looking game on PC, but also has that weird... Things are reflecting in the water that shouldn't be reflecting in the water in a strange way.
Uh-huh.
Going on in a game that was released like a year ago.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
It's still pervasive. I don't know what causes it. I wish I did, and if I understood, then I wish I could explain it in a layman's like terms that would not confuse the average listener to something like this. But yeah, we're gonna wrap it up there like, pretty quickly, I think. Rob, thank you for coming on at short notice.
Oh, good. I wish I'd had more on my list here.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was like short notice for everybody. It's kind of my fault for not realizing earlier. It's like, oh, I may not be available for the next like regular recordings session. We need to get this in the can now. So if gigantic gaming news is broken like within a week of this episode coming out, the reason we're not talking about it or acknowledging it at all is because that Sony State of Play that I mentioned earlier was still less than a week ago as we record this, so we are really, really recording this quite early.
Yep.
Although on that note, do you have anything coming up or that will have, I guess at this point, just maybe hit the site?
Nothing for the site, sadly. My circumstances have reduced a lot of time. I haven't picked up anything for writing up for the moment.
YouTube channel?
There will be something that should be out by the time, will definitely be out by the time this is a look at Roguecraft, which is one of the games I had on my, like, 10 games I was looking forward to list this year, well, specifically a couple of the other conversions that got done. So that should be out. It'll definitely be out by the time this pod goes out.
Cool. It's a shame it wasn't like a fishing game or something. That would have been a nice
one. Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately not. Just dungeons and things. I didn't have the clarity of foresight to think of the only fishing game I could think of that I could cover would be Fishing Derby. And that's not got that much water effects because it's an Atari 2600 game.
The Dreamcast launched one that even had like a fishing controller. It's wild to think about. I think that was actually a thing for a little bit. You know, yeah, I will probably at this point have a Romeo is a Dead Man adjacent piece on the website after I gave up reviewing that because it just kept on freezing for like 10 seconds at a time. Ooh. When I was like trying to play it. I spoke about this last episode. Digital Foundry like just dropped a analysis of this and like they were having some PC performance issues. Nothing as bad as what I've had on this powerful hardware, but it may be I'm using a Radeon card and they were using a GTX 460. But like it turns out that yeah, like the setting some like it looks like it has a good amount of options and it does, like for like the PC version, but like they're not always explaining what they do properly. Sometimes they're doing completely different things.
Ew, that's never good.
But also if it gets to the point where a game like is, and like to the point where it's like be hanging for multiple seconds, and if you're playing with a controller and it's vibrating, the vibration is just like still going while it's.
Ew, no. Like,
and like, I don't know. Like, after the first time it happened, I was like, that's bad. And then the next day, I had a 90 minute session and it was fine. Then I went back later that day and it started again. And then like rebooting, turning it off, turning it on again, like nothing, like it's completely uncontrollable what is causing it.
I hope it's that's something that a patch can fix. That has to be patched.
It's a super interesting game with, which I would hardly recommend, even if it's not the best game ever for like how wild it is. If not for this, because it's like I can't tolerate this anymore. Like it's just ridiculous.
Completely understandable.
Something about why I wish more games like it existed, though, probably up on the site by the time this episode goes live. Also, Pretend Beard on the Blue Skies. Rob, are you just Rob Cap?
Rob Cap, yep.
Because he likes to wear hats. Just in case you're wondering.
I didn't want to use my full name because it's long because of the rest of the Beast Blue Sky stuff. And I can't get... If I could get away with it, I would have loved just Rob C. But someone claimed that forever ago. Who got there earlier than me. So...
Yeah, we were all...